There are times when life itself seems to be, and I'd like to underline that, seems to be overwhelming. There are times when all of us seem to be overcome by the problems that come our way, the difficulties, the hardships, the challenges. Jesus knew that his followers, and I think even to us today, he certainly knew that his followers would face some real times of difficult hardship. However, Jesus wanted them to know that those hardships and those problems are not equal to, they don't necessarily mean that they have defeat or that we have defeat. Jesus knew that in his own life personally. He was not exempt from the hardships of life, not at all. He knew some very tough times, some real challenges to life. But Jesus was never, ever defeated by the hardships of his own life, by those who opposed him, by the difficulties that came his way. He was not defeated by life's hardships. He was not overcome by those hardships, even when they included the death on the cross, even when it meant suffering for our sin, even when it appeared to, and those who opposed Jesus thought he was completely overcome, he was not overcome at all. In fact, the cross led to victory. The cross was not defeat, for he rose victorious from the tomb. He overcame death itself. John tells us about a time when Jesus heard his followers tell him that they believed indeed that he did come from God. And Jesus responded to their words on this occasion. It's recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. In verses 31 through 33, he responded to their statement, their agreement that he did come indeed from God. He responded with these words. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered each to his own home and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you," and he had spoken some other things to them you can find in that chapter. "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." Now listen to what he says next. "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. John, in his writings, uses that word overcome several times, many times, really. He uses it several times in the writings that we're reading, we've been studying from 1 John, overcome. He uses it, and he, of course, wrote the book of Revelation. And that whole book is about overcoming, isn't it? Sin won't overcome us. We overcome sin through Christ. This life, even death, won't overcome us, for there's life eternal with him. Revelation is a story, a book of telling us of victory. And so the words used there, but the whole letter is one of overcoming. In 1 John, overcome is used several times. In the fourth chapter, and we've already studied from this, of the fourth verse of the fourth chapter of 1 John 4:4, John writes, "You are from God, little children, and have," here's the word, "overcome them." And remember the them that he was talking about. Those he was talking about were those who had and were actively opposing Christ. They were the Antichrist. Remember, those who were making it very difficult for those who were in Christ. They were teaching false doctrine. They were opposing the work of Christ. But he says to them, little children, you have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And it was the he who was in the world, led by Satan himself, that was opposing the work of Christ. But John says, not to worry, for you are greater than they. You have overcome them. You see, reality Christianity is that we, those of us who are in Christ, and Christ is in us, we overcome the world. We're victorious over the world. We are overcomers. There are times when it certainly seems, even to us, I think, when the world is winning. Have you ever felt like, no, I don't know about that, Wayne. It sounds good, but boy, it seems there have been times when the world's overcoming me. And there are those today I've heard say that it seems like the world is winning and the church is losing. And maybe we've even said that the world seems to be overcoming the church. And yet John tells us, no, it's not that way. It may seem that way. In fact, there may be some short times when it seems definitely that way, but in the long run, the church is not overwhelmed, overcome by the world, because we in Christ are overcomers. And what seems to be is not what always is. What seems to be is not what always is. Last week, I was introduced to a song that I had not heard, or if I'd heard the song, I hadn't really listened very well to it, because as I listened to it, as someone popped this CD and said, listen to this song, and I listened to the words. The song is by Laura Story, and probably everyone in here knows it already. The song is titled Blessings. Blessings. Beautiful song. The words of this song explain that sometimes things, again, are not what they seem to be. The things that we might count to be defeat aren't defeat at all. In fact, those very things this song explains may be your means to victory. That with God, what looks like you are overcome by actually becomes the things that you will know the power of His overcoming. I'm not going to sing the song, and I'm not going to read the whole song to you, but I do want you to hear the first verse and then pay particular attention to the chorus. And again, the title of the song is Blessings. Laura Story sings it. It says this, it says, we pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you are near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? And the song goes on through a couple other verses to explain that many things we desire, many things that we even pray for, many of the blessings that we seek are not always what we need. For sometimes those difficulties in life, those hardships, those trials, those pains, those sufferings are the very tools that are the pathways to blessings from our Lord. Blessings that He has yet in store for us. Those hard times are not to defeat us, for we are to be overcomers in Christ. In the passage we're reading from this morning in 1 John chapter 5, we will see this word again, overcome, appear a few times, three times in fact. We'll also see three other words appear that have been appearing through this letter that we've been studying, 1 John. A theme that kind of threads itself through this letter. And those three words, or derivatives of those words, have much to do not only with the letter, but with our relationship to the Lord. The three words are believe, love, and obey. There's a sermon right there in three words. Believe, love, and obey. And as you study this letter of 1 John, you'll see those themes come up, sometimes linked together. This passage we're going to read with, all three of them together, sometimes two of them, two different ones, linked together. But John is making the point of that importance. And if we are to be overcomers in Christ, we are going to also not just know those three words, we're going to live those three words, believe, love, and obey. Belief, love, and obedience are very closely linked to overcoming. You know, it's not by our strength, as that song Blessing says. If we're going to know overcoming power, it's not going to be because we're so great. It's because we recognize and know He is so great. Amen? We know that He is the one that brings us that strength. And it's through our belief, our love, and our obedience that centers on Him that become very much the pathway for us to receive that overcoming strength. Belief, love, and obedience must center not on things of the world, even on others, but on God Himself, on our Lord. And so as we read this 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, I want you to be attentive to the use of these words. Use of the word overcome and see it in its context. And then also pay attention for these words, believe, love, and obey. Or words that are used that convey those same thoughts. Believe, love, and obey. And so we read in 1 John 5, first five verses. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith, another word for belief. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Those born of God, John tells us, those born of God overcome the world. When a person is born of God, he is changed. He has changed his allegiances. Last week, I was again honored to preach there at Brady Lane Church of Christ in Lafayette, Indiana, my home church, a church where I was baptized into Christ. In fact, it's been built onto since then, the place, the worship area that we had at the time when I was there and in which I was baptized is no longer the worship area. It's now the fellowship area. But they set it up for worship because they wanted to remember that time. And during the sermon, I pointed to where I was baptized, but it's just a space now. There's nothing there. But those who didn't know that explained there used to be a baptistry there, and it was there. But my point wasn't where I was baptized. My point was the change that came over me when I came to Christ in faith, repentant of my sin, not knowing a whole lot, but knowing that I wanted to be in Him, and that included being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I told them my allegiances changed at that point. I changed at that point. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Donna had several of her family there, and some of them knew me prior to that change. And I told the people there, they can tell you that I'm a different person than I was before I was baptized into Christ. And of course, I told her family they don't need to tell anybody anything, but they may have. But you see, when we are born of God, when we are brought into Christ, when we are baptized into Christ, the world is no longer in control of our lives, or it's not supposed to be, amen? Because we've given our allegiance over to the Lord. Because we've claimed Him not only as our Savior, but we have said to Him, "You are my Lord. I owe all my allegiance to You. I pledge my allegiance to You completely." And so You are the one, we say to God, who deserves my faith and my love and my obedience. And the world is no longer going to control my decisions or even my desires. As much as I can, with Your help, God, I'm going to live my allegiance to You, because now I have overcome the world in You. Now, does the world have many enticing things to offer us, to show us? You know, we can go all the way back to Genesis, and we know that, you know, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, those things can be appealing. And so it still is today. The world has many, many, many enticing things to gain our appeal and our attraction. And they don't need to be things that are evil in and of themselves. You know, you might think about, yeah, there's those drugs out there, and there's alcohol and promiscuity. And, you know, those things can attract people, but that doesn't necessarily have to be things that we would put there in the category in and of themselves of sin. For some things can seek to overcome us, to gain our attention, that aren't all that evil. There can be the good things that life offers. The money that we can earn. Money in and of itself isn't evil. The Bible says what? It's the love of money. You know, that's what we want to avoid. Money can be used for good. It can be used for evil. But our desire isn't to be our allegiance isn't to be to money when we're in Christ. To be an overcomer, our allegiance is to Him. But wealth or the stuff that money and wealth can buy can become very attracting, can be a magnet that pulls us toward it. And we can be overcome by that desire. Have you ever known anybody, maybe you yourself, that their whole life is lived to gain more money? And everything circles around that. I've got to be producing so I can make some more money. I've got to have more money. I need more money. And the more money they get, what do they have to have? They got to have more, because they might not have enough. And so they keep accumulating. They got to have more. They got to have more. And what is it? Money has become that's overcome them. It's overpowering them. They've given in to that trap of wealth. They've accepted oftentimes this false belief system that says real joy in life comes from attaining wealth. And others have other things. It can be fame. It can be the stuff that money buys. It can be even gaining a lot of friendships or being well known. It could be in a political realm. It could be in a lot of things. Things of this world, they can overcome us if we allow our attention to go, our allegiance to go to them. And some people, and we've got to watch this even as Christians, that we don't develop a love for the things of this world that exceeds our love for the Lord. Amen? In fact, in the Ten Commandments, we're told that pretty close, aren't we? That we're not to have idols, are we? We don't build idols and, you know, make a golden idol of some kind, a cow or whatever, and worship that. But we can worship other things in that same category. We can be overcome by the things of this world, but it's not to be that way. For our faith, our love, our obedience to the Lord exceeds any of that for this world. And we don't worship the things of this world. We worship the one who created this world and everything that is in this world. He gets our praise, honor, and love. Romans 6, we've read from this several times. We studied it on Wednesday night. And it talks again about this real change that takes place and how it takes place in the one who comes to Christ. In Romans 6, verse 3, it says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified, with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." See, we're no longer overcome or overpowered by sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. And as it's no longer master over him, death is to no longer be master over us. We are overcomers. And in Christ Jesus, we overcome even death itself. And that's because we have already died with him. We've died with him, and Paul explained that when we are baptized into Christ, we know the power of his resurrection as we are raised again with him. In baptism, we are raised to a newness of life, and we have that overcoming blessing within us of the empowering of his Holy Spirit. Now, does that have anything to say to us about, you know, our daily lives? As we go back to where we started, the hardships, the troubles, the difficulties that life brings us in a multitude of ways, those that seem to be overpowering. In fact, you might even say to someone, "I am overwhelmed," and tell them what it is. But should we be? Are we really overwhelmed? You might be able this morning, just think of something, and maybe it's something that's going on right now in your life, something that causes you tremendous suffering or pain. It can be physical, it can be emotional, whatever it might be. Now just suppose, if you got that in your mind, suppose that you could be granted that which would grant your desires to completely remove that from your life. Maybe you are overcome by some financial burden that seems overwhelming, overpowering. And suppose, now this is just suppose, that someone walked up to you, and with inflation, I'm going to say for the illustration, they give you $10 million. And I'm hoping that's enough for your overpowering financial burden and that it meets it. If it doesn't, you raise the amount. But I think most of us, that would be a large help. And so someone hands you that $10 million, tax-free, no strings attached. Or perhaps, and this may be true with some of you in the room today, you're suffering with some terrible pain from arthritis. You know arthritis? And it's debilitating almost. It's causing you hardship. Now just suppose someone came up to you and said, "I have got something here that is wonderful. I used it myself. It works tremendously. Take this one small pill, and it will remove the arthritis from your body. I did it myself 10 years ago. This person would say to you, I haven't been bothered by even a skosh of arthritis since. Completely gone. Would you take that pill? Would you say, that sounds good? And suppose you did, and your arthritis is completely gone. Whatever it might be that seems to be overpowering your life, suppose, just suppose it could be completely removed, taken away. Whatever problems your way. And would that, you think, solve all your needs? That you no longer say, I've been overwhelmed, that I'm no longer having any hardship? Well, probably not. While we might think that arthritis is our biggest problem, or the money problem is our biggest problem, or whatever problem you might have, we'd soon learn that there's other things that seem to step in and take its place, that we just keep adding to the list. All the reality, we all have the reality of life that this world is in itself temporary, and we know that we are temporary in this world. Amen? I mean, we don't know how long we're going to be in this life. We added several to the families to our prayer list this last week, and if you notice the new ones, there are many family of. And some of those people who died were, I think, relatively young. 51 years old was one. And then another on that same list reached the age of 96, which we would most agree is a pretty long life. But we know that life itself has an end. This life has an end unless the Lord returns before our life ends. There is. And even if there were things that could remove all those problems you talked about, and you had no other thing going on in your life except you knew that this life was one day going to end, then you still have something to be over very concerned about, don't you? For it's only those who are in Christ that have overcome that very real situation that this life ends. And the Bible tells us if we have sinned, which all of us have sinned, it tells us, and the wages we earn for that is death, and he's talking about eternal separation from God, it's hell. So that would be, even if we had perfect health and our finances were in great order and all of those things, that would be something. This last week, you heard, and I mentioned to my Sunday school class, I know unless you were in a hole someplace, that a man named Steve Jobs died. Y'all heard that he died. And some of you may not have even known who Steve Jobs was until last week. And then you realize, my, he accomplished so many things with Apple Computer and had quite a legacy left behind of so many things that he had been instrumental in bringing into the world of technology, did some wonderful work, and many, many people are very appreciative of all he has done. And so I learned, along with many others, some of the things I didn't realize that he was instrumental in doing. But he had a horrible disease, pancreatic cancer. He fought it pretty bravely for quite a while, but very serious cancer, and took his life. And he died at a relatively young age. And many grieved his loss. Now, one thing I don't know about Steve Jobs, and one thing I didn't hear anyone say, and maybe some of you did, and you can tell me later, I didn't hear anyone talk about his relationship to Jesus Christ. I never heard in any of the news reports this man was one who had given his life to Christ, you know, a long time ago or a short time ago or any time ago. Didn't say anything about how he stood in relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. Now I sincerely hope that he had a good relationship with his Lord. For if he didn't, even this great legacy that he left behind, even all that he accomplished and many enjoy today, won't amount to too much in comparison, will it, if he didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ? And if he if he died with that relationship with Christ, everything that he accomplished and all that he did and all of that great legacy amounts to nothing compared to what he had awaiting him in eternity. Amen? Saw a little joke somebody had on the internet, and it had Steve Jobs going, you know, it's always going to the pearly gates. And I guess it's Peter standing there. And Peter was looking through a huge, huge book, flipping the pages, looking for his name. And they had Steve Jobs say to Peter, "I've got an app for that." So he brought his technology to heaven. God doesn't need an app to find out if we're to be with him for eternity or not. He knows, well, he knows now. And so if we're to overcome, and if we're to be overcomers, there's only one way we will do that, and that is through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that, of course, comes through us yielding our lives to him. Only in Christ can we overcome that most serious situation that we face in life, and that is where we will spend eternity. In Christ, we have overcome eternal punishment that's due us by our sin, by his power. In Christ, we know his grace where we deserved his punishment. In Christ, he has provided us a way to eternity in glory with him, when what we've earned and deserved from our own life was eternal separation, but his grace makes it possible to spend eternity with him. And that only comes through our relationship with him. We come to him in faith and love and obedience. The closer we draw to him, after we come to him, after we are immersed into Christ, the closer we draw to him in faith or in belief, the more our love should grow for him. John's told us that. And the more our love grows for him, the more our love grows for each other, right? He's told us that. And the more our faith and love grow, the more we obey his will in our lives. And the more we obey his will in our lives, the more aware we become of his overcoming power. And the less we allow the problems and the hardships and the difficulties of this life to control us. For we know one who is greater. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We know, and what Laura Story sings about, we know things that sometimes seem to be just too tough to get over, but they're not. Not with the overpowering and overcoming power of God. And those things that seem to overwhelm or be overwhelming us may be the very things that God uses to be, as she sings in that song, a blessing to us. I think all of you could probably tell stories of times when you've gone through some hardships and later those hardships turned out to be a source of blessing. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Our Father God, again, we thank you so much for your overcoming power. And Father, that you make it possible for us to know that power. And in the midst, even of times when we do suffer, and we know Jesus suffered, his followers suffered, that as Jesus looked beyond the cross with joy, because he looked through the eyes of eternity, so we too, Father, even in the midst of struggles and pain and hardship, we know those things do not overcome us, because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, your Son Jesus Christ. And we pray to you, and we thank you for your blessings to us through him, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.